woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, my big session, guys. At the moment, he's Mr. Tom Howley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill in the wings. S&P futures down 5. Dow futures down 7 is because Caterpillar has cut their forecast. Shares are down. I'm glad I didn't do that. That particular earnings play, because I would not have played that to the downside. I probably would have played it even. NASDAQ futures only down 6, but they were down pretty heavy yesterday. Those that didn't follow us into the close yesterday had a pretty good sell-off. The S&P was down almost 11. NASDAQ was down 60, or 59. And the Dow was only down 39 because Boeing was up and a couple others were up. Even though McDonald's got clobbered pretty good. McDonald's down like $8, which is unusual for them. I mean, they came in for them to... They don't usually miss, and they missed yesterday, and the guidance going forward wasn't really the best. They were saying they were feeling the effects of the slowdown, which is what everybody expects. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good, yes, everybody's affecting the, I too am feeling the effects of the slowdown. or maybe it's age. I'm not sure, but one way or another. I think you're going to see a lot of that, Tom. It's nice if you have a bad quarter to say it's not management, it's the slowdown.
Well, let's put it this way. We've had the strange, to me, very strange, maybe it's because people are tooting their own horn or hoping things, where we have 4 reports in a row on TV talking about how the world is slowing, you'll have the World Bank cutting worldwide growth, doing all this kind of stuff. And the numbers have not been very good lately. They've shown growth slowing a little bit. It's not like it's horrible. And yet, everybody expects every firm to be higher. How does that math work? And whose calculator does that work?
Well, I think there's a valid assumption that it's not a zero-sum game. So, you know, there is room for everybody to grow, but not everybody's going to grow, and that's just a ridiculous thing to expect.
Well, but we constantly talk about the places that have pricing power, in other words, if we expect McDonald's to grow and we just expect, you know, 400 other mom-and-pop places, not that they're after mom-and-pop places, but that we don't count beside them, we're not going to worry about them. But, I mean, the big numbers don't lie. I mean, I don't think. And, it's just like we've been talking about the teacher strike, and I was regaling Maddie, who I'm sure wanted nothing to hear about it this morning, about how organized these teacher rallies have become. Elizabeth Warren's here and all kinds of stuff. And I just, somewhere along the line, Kevin, do you have an obligation at some point to realize how much your salaries are up vis-a-vis the rest of the population in the last 20 years before you shove it in people's faces? Matt, and I was saying, I don't know, Matty's always nice to me in the morning because he doesn't like talking at that hour, and I always do, and I always bother him, I know, but the, I don't get the part where maybe because I'm on the air, and, this is not my profession, but I've learned something from it. Maybe I have learned that it's not necessarily what you say, it's what people hear. It's not what you think you dress like, it's what people think you are when they look at you like that. It's people's reaction. It's not what you think you're conveying. It's people's reaction that's what's important. And you have to be mindful of that. And I think all these demonstrations and stuff really hurt their cause. I honestly do. This is a business thing. This is not the civil rights movement of 1963. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a group of people that in the last 20 years has prospered tremendously better than the rest of society, and they're just putting it in everybody's face. I mean, what are they doing, Kevin? I'm just missing the whole point.
Well, it sounds like we've moved away from, you know, things like McDonald's, and we're into the teachers' protests now.
Well, but I'm saying even it's sort of the same. It's sort of like a, I don't want to use the term, but it's giving out fake information to people in some way. Now, not even if you're not doing it on purpose, you sort of are. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You have to realize what you're saying to people. We need more, more, more. You at least need to know that if you're going to give a talk for charity, say, in a neighborhood that just lost their biggest employer, you probably should know that before you start your speech, because it's going to be a little different than if everybody there just got a bonus. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's up to you to research your listeners, I guess what I'm saying.
When it comes to any kind of public sector union is that, you know, we lose sight of the fact that it is one group of employees or of people who are negotiating against their neighbors.
Right, essentially.
And I think that notion is kind of lost in there. It's, you know, it's one thing if you have a, GM strike.
Yeah.
And they're arguing over how they're going to divide up GM's revenues and profits. It's another thing when you're talking about a public sector group who is arguing about how much of their neighbor's money they're going to get.
Right. And then you
go with all the the backdrop that you just described.
Right. And it's I don't know that when you start talking how can I phrase this without bringing the president into it. There are people that have uncovered the fact that there are still race issues in this country. Not that a lot of people didn't know there were, but it kind of works both ways, Kevin. Just the way the teachers' union represents themselves, it totally comes across as this kind of, you know, it's very black. There, you wouldn't guess that there was an Asian student in the city with the people that show up at these things. You wouldn't guess that there are Hispanic students. I mean, it comes off as a Angela Davis rally, and I don't think that works with people. I just don't know whether I'm not saying it's not appropriate. I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to do it. You do whatever you damn well please, but you have to come up with you have to make the assessment that these are the charges you have to do. I mean, if I was one of them, I would say, look, one of the reasons why we need more money is because these problems are rampant in all these neighborhoods, and somehow or another, city government has dropped them all on the schools. I mean, the school lunch program is coming out of our place. It has nothing to do with education. That should be a totally separate budget. I mean, there needs to be some intellectual discourse here of what's actually going on, and it's being lost, I think.
Yeah, well, there's a reason you get the groups you get at these things, because they aren't likely to be organic. Just people turning out to say I support this. It is organized. It's organized groups, and the community organizers, the people who get really involved in that kind of thing, do tend to operate in African American neighborhoods. So that's part of what you're seeing is they're rallying out all the groups that. That are already active. So I wouldn't make too much of it more than that.
The behavior that you see, the language that you see, you're asking people, I'm going to guess, Kevin, that at a Chicago public high school right now, that the school is given somewhere in the neighborhood of 17 and a half, maybe 18, somewhere in there, $1,000 per student. That's as much as any system in the state other than New Trier. It's not like they're broke. So you got to be careful that you don't give the impression that you've got all kinds of money and you're not putting out a product, and the problem is that there's not more money. Because a lot of people feel that the problem is not money. And I think the problem isn't money. The problem is family, the problem of a lot of other things that are out of control of teachers that unfortunately get dropped in their lap. So that's why I'm real sympathetic with them.
Well, it's also a lot of things that are out of control of the teachers, but they are in the control of the administrators. So, and that gets into, how do you reshape the education system in general? And, having just visited Nashville and seeing what they, what they did over about a 10-year span, I was in a school that was gang-ridden. It was as bad as any of the worst schools in Chicago, and years later, it was like walking into a North Suburban high school.
Wow.
And not because anybody did anything heavy-handed or anything like that. It's just because they changed the whole approach to how they educate the students, and as a result of it, they get them engaged. They get people engaged at young ages who really want to be educated, and it sort of changes the whole nature of how schools operate. The problem is that you have to get rid of the status quo, whatever that is, organizationally, structures, how funding works, all of those things have to change. And as we know about bureaucracies, they don't give ground easily.
Well, when I was doing the public school stuff, as a janitor, as I always mention, I clearly was not teaching anybody.
You were a custodian eventually, though.
Yes, and I don't know quite what that change was all about. What is the difference between a janitor and a custodian?
Probably about $5 an hour.
Well, it was no raise. It was just one day I look at my thing and I'm a custodian. I'm like, wow, how'd that happen?
Does sound nicer.
Well, cue the Jefferson song. We're moving on up here.
Well, maybe it was because it was, it's non-sex specific, gender specific.
Well, that's true, although I don't know the janitor is either.
Oh, yeah, it was a janitress.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all different.
I've never heard the term. So,
oh, yeah, no, we had.
Never heard janitress.
They had a different, they didn't get paid as much, and they had a different jobs to do. Anyway, but the interesting part was when you went to the grammar schools in the worst neighborhoods. This is before people were, had drug issues, but in the worst neighborhoods, the kids would show up for first or second grade as eager to learn as could be, Kevin, and somewhere between there and high school. I don't know what happened to everybody, but those kids in first and second grade, you and I would have taken them anywhere, and said, look, we can do a lot with these. They were the nicest, most polite, anxious to learn, couldn't wait to get to school because God knows what they had at home. And then somewhere between there and 12th grade, you created something. It wasn't the schools that did it, but
there are a number of pathologies involved in that. And you're right to say that some of it is family, because it is. I remember
it's lack thereof.
In my days when I lived in St. Joseph, and I used to talk about do some volunteer work in for junior achievement in the Benton Harbor schools, and a lot of those kids would go home and they would get, get out your books, get out your homework, and someone would say to them, what are you doing that for? It isn't going to matter. You're not going to amount to anything. You're not going to be allowed to amount to anything, any number of discouragements that they would get. And I'm going lightweight on some of the language here.
Yep.
But, it was heartbreaking when you hear about that, but, you always work to try and get them to see themselves differently, to at least have an inner conversation with themselves that says, you're wrong, you can't look at your mom or your dad and say, you're wrong, shut up, you're full of it, but you can say that inside.
Well, yeah, I would agree. And we've seen massive success stories. I mean, our friend Jean from, is it fair to say? I think Jean was St. Mary's, wasn't she? I always assumed she was Notre Dame. I think she graduated St. Mary's. But she's does the admissions at Michigan Engineering School, University of Michigan, and has that program for the inner-city kids in Detroit. God, Kevin, how many kids from that inner-city programs where they do the engineering projects and so forth, how many of those kids have gone to Michigan, like 20, 30? In engineering in Michigan. I mean, you would never guess that.
You may say that's just, it's such a small percentage. percentage, it's not really solving the problem. Hey, it's solving 20 problems, whatever it is. It's solving, you know, it's solving some problems. And, you know, I think you're starting to see a lot of changes. They're not happening in as many big cities, and part of that is, like I said, bureaucracies don't go away easily, and, you know, the big cities have, so many of them have mismanaged their budgets to the point that they can't afford to take initiatives. So you're seeing a lot of it starting in smaller cities. A place like Nashville is an exception, but even New York has, you know, has the PTEC schools that because they have a partnership with IBM, and IBM is doing a lot of funding for it. Because you know, and their point of view is, you know, we need a labor force someday. In the future, we need a labor force, so we're going to reward tech education. We're going to reward the building the kinds of things that people need to learn to become good employees.
Well, the economic connection between our somewhat disparate conversation here is the thing I'm always harping on, Kevin. And if you're not getting, you can lie to yourself and look in the mirror and say, self, well, you're getting younger and better looking. You can do that all you want, but it ain't happening.
Wait.
Yeah.
It's not.
When the economy is not growing.
Are you saying I've been deluding myself?
Yes. When the economy is not growing, these are the kinds of things that everything we talk about on the show affects something else. When the economy is growing 3-5% a year, I mean, for real people, not just wealth where stocks go up and something. Nobody cares if the teachers get a 3% raise. And the McDonald's last quarter, it doesn't surprise me. I'm not going to make a 1-to-1 course, but some of the people that I know that are in, you know, living paycheck to paycheck told me they had a very expensive, back to school. Schools are demanding, some of the schools their kids are going to are demanding more outfits, they're demanding laptops, they're demanding something. So some people told me they spent more back to school than they will at Christmas. Now it doesn't surprise me that since the money is going one place or the other, you can't go three places. It's not like there's this growth and there's this extra stuff going. I mean, if we get it to a point where there's zero growth, which I actually think we are now, if we're there, every time somebody wins, somebody loses. And that's not the society economically we're used to. It's not the economic society we want. And we better figure out a way to friggin' fix it. Because it leads to all kinds of problems in terms of, some of the stuff we're seeing, the right versus left. It's all a question of who's getting the dough, Kevin. Because everybody can't grow together. If everybody's growing together, you really don't care if the guy down the street gets a little bit better raise because he works Saturdays and you don't want to. As long as there's some reason why somebody's doing better than another guy or a lady, or you can somewhat point to, of course, you know, Maddie Weber makes more than this guy because Maddie Weber went and got his PhD and the other guy didn't. So Maddie makes 20 grand more, 30 grand more from the other guy, and it should seem fair to people. Right now, it doesn't to an amazing amount of people. And the taxes go up because somebody else can get a raise when I didn't get a raise. When you start getting there, you start tearing at things. And we're already well into that. I mean, as you know, I get right and left comments all the time. And you know what, Kevin? The more I get them, the more I realize everybody's complaining about the same thing. It's who's getting what.
Pretty much.
And if we keep lying to ourselves, because it makes it worse when you pour money into the system like we're doing. So we shift over to this wealth bubble. It's not how much people make, it's how much wealth they have kind of crap, which started in the 90s. I don't know what economist started that. But once you start...
President Warren will fix that, too.
Yeah. Once you pull into that, now you got a real problem. Because, I mean, how many people really own all the assets? Half of 1% when you think about it? I mean, we got to somehow get out of this mix where we're headed here. And I don't think it's that hard to do, Kevin. But somehow we got to get out of this mix. And there's probably
let's take it back to education for a second, because last week I visited a it was a gear manufacturing operation in Plymouth, Indiana, and it was really interesting. You know, the kinds of things that they make. You know, these are the gigantic gears that you see in turbines and things like that. So
well, you know,
they had one set on the scrap, didn't pass inspection. The guy said that's a $14,000 scrap item.
Yeah,
but I asked him what do your entry level people make and what do you need when you hire them? Well, they make about $17 to $18 an hour to start, which is that's with no experience. That's good money in Plymouth, Indiana.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I said what gets you hired? And he said, well, offhand, he said first thing is show up every day. which he said that as show up every day because those people are hard to find who show up every day.
Absolutely.
But then he talked a little bit about things like can you work in teams? Are you really interested in learning? Those kinds of things. And I said, well, what gets you promoted at your place? What gets you a supervisor level or something like that? And he said, it's the big thing is that we get people who want to take the initiative to learn instead of people who sit back and say, teach me so that I can get a promotion. That they just go out and do it themselves. They make it a point to learn new things, not necessarily outside, inside the company as well. They're just, those are the people who are curious and who get out and do it. Now, that's, none of that is technical skill. It's all soft skill, but it's all the kinds of things that people should be learning to do in school, and they're not.
Well, do they have a program?
That's
somebody
why. That's why they're scarce.
If somebody wants to, anything, Kevin is 10% talent, 90% perspiration. We know that. But if somebody wants to learn, hey, why the hell is that gear this grade? Is there a can they go get a metallurgy classes somewhere in the neighborhood where they can learn some of this stuff?
Yeah, right up the road at Ivy Tech.
Okay, so I mean,
but they'll also this is a company that is also willing to just okay, you want to learn? We'll just block off some time for you to learn how it works here.
Okay,
and they're willing to do that. And there's lots of great employers out there like that. They just are not happy with the labor force that we, and I'm saying we because we as a population, but I'm also saying we as an educator, that we are giving them. They're not happy with it. And it really gets down to the simple stuff. It's not, they want people who know how to do math and can speak well and understand an accounting ledger and all that. They do. They want that. But the first thing they always say is, do they show up? The second thing that they always say is, I want people who can work in teams, that can handle diversity, that can do a little research and solve problems. That those are the skills that they want, and we are just not teaching them in our school systems, and yet the teachers want to raise.
I don't see. All right, Kevin, we got to dash the break here. SP Futures down 775. Come back, we'll figure out where all these earnings are and talk about what's going on in the rest of the world.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollie, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Mr. Matt Weber. While I'm going through all this stuff, if you got a second, if you have a machine near you, not a machine gun, a machine, take a look at what's going on with Boeing here, because, and I'll have to say this, if you're an auditor, please be seated when you read this stuff, because otherwise you're going to keel over. S&P futures down 875 now, NASDAQ futures down 1775, Dow futures down 99. The reason for that is Boeing's down 489. They came out with their earnings. And Caterpillar is down 393, so both of those disappointed. Actually, Boeing came out $1.45 a share versus 209 expected. Hold on to that thought for a minute while I go around the rest of the world here. In stocks, not in a plane. DAX down 3, call that flat. FTSE up 20.3%. CAC around down 33.6%. So kind of slow and wobbly over there. Nikkei up 76.3%. Shanghai down 12.4%. Hang Seng down 219.8%. So shot down over there. Bonds 1.73 actually yields down a little bit. It was 1.77 yesterday. The Bund minus 0.40 was 0.39 yesterday, so that also. Japan holds steady as minus 0.13. Oil down 54 cents, 53.94, as this oil stays very sleepy between 52 and 55. Brent 59.25 down 45 cents. Natural gas down another penny, 2.25. RBOB 1.60. We've got gold up 820, 1495. Silver up 6 cents, 1756. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a great start so far, Chief, on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. The Kennedy would be our slowest moving expressway, just normal traffic volumes building up and no accidents to report. Eden's Eisenhower, Stevenson looking good. Southside Expressway is looking good as well. Same with the suburban tollways. Off the expressways, on the south side, Loomis Street northbound between Eleanor and Cermak is closed for bridge work. That is going to last throughout the day until this afternoon around 3:30. The southbound side of the bridge is scheduled to remain closed until early December, but the northbound side will reopen this afternoon. Also, it looks like we have an accident, Western Avenue and 79th Street. That's affecting the Western Avenue buses and traffic on Western Avenue.
And St. Rita's right there.
And it's right there. But everything else is good out there. Weather today, it's going to warm up a little bit from yesterday, but still very windy and chilly. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 59. Right now it is clear and 42 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 91 today. Right now it's clear and 60. In sports, game one of the World Series last night saw Max Scherzer outlast Gerrit Cole in an upset over the Astros in game one down in Houston. 5-4 was the final in that one, so the Nats lead that series 1-0. Game two of that best of seven is tonight down in Houston. Strasburg versus Verlander, another big-time pitching matchup in the World Series. In hockey last night, Blackhawks lost in a shootout to Vegas 2-1. The Hawks are now 0-7 against the expansion Vegas Golden Knights in their brief history. Coyotes beat the Rangers 3-2 in overtime. NBA season tipped off last night, but the Bulls begin their 2019-2020 campaign tonight in Charlotte. That's a 6 p.m. Chicago time tip on the road. The Suns begin their season at home hosting the Kings tonight, 7 p.m. local Arizona time tip off there. Chief.
Kevin, let's diverge here for a second into these Boeing numbers, and I want to know who the bleep is their auditor. Talk about big firm getting to run your auditor. Now, they're still assuming the 737 is going to be get approval in the fourth quarter. If they do, it'll be December 31st, in my opinion. All right, so they've pushed out deliveries of the 777X. They've cut back production on the 787. They didn't deliver any 737s, and they have not taken another hit towards profit, and they still are reporting $1.45 profit. They only, but get a load of this. They dropped $2.93 billion in cash flow. You want to tell me how they're, how there's not, you don't have a some kind of a loss this quarter?
Well, that's not unusual for the accounting and the cash flow to be a little bit different.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Okay.
So, I would have to take apart their numbers, and I'm not real inclined to today.
No, I mean, I'm saying there's no estimate of how much you're
going to... That's entirely possible that they are, but... You know, I'd be much more concerned about the cash flow than I would about the profit number, regardless.
Well, but I think there needs to be at some point
because sooner or later it's going to turn into it's going to come and bite them on the profit side of it.
There has to be an estimate at this point. They came out with the $4.8 billion number. Was it last quarter or the quarter before? That number, whatever that estimate was of losses regarding this whole fiasco. Whatever that number is, I'm not suggesting that they will be able to tell you what the final number will be, but it's clearly not that number, because when they put that number out, they were supposed to be in the air today, right? And they're not. So clearly that number has changed. And then there's two schools of thought. One that says, if you don't know the final number, you don't tell anybody anything. That's never been mine, Kevin. I mean, it's clearly more than that initial number. And you've been negotiating with these airlines. There must be some iteration now where you know you're going to have to pay, you know, United Airlines, you know, $100 a day for every day the plane's not flying, $1,000, whatever it is. Those negotiations have to have been ongoing. So you must know a little better than you did two or three quarters or where this is heading. And
in a world of wisdom, they would probably be already setting aside. Some kind of reserve for the losses there,
right?
But not doing so, what that tells me is they just want to have a one-time event where they take the big loss all at once, and they can tell everybody it's an event and it's in the rearview mirror.
All right. Well, I mean, but I'm not so sure. A lot of accounting firms would allow you to do that.
I don't know what the accounting rules are at this
point. Hey, what about talk about a classic event? You hear in the listeners hear me chat away, and Matty Weber unfortunately has been forced to listen to me chat away about things about mark the market versus real loss versus real value now for God knows how many years. And I'm sure everybody's eyes roll up and say, what in God's name is this chief dude talking about? Take a look at this SoftBank fiasco. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Have you read anything about this, Kevin?
No, I have not.
Well, SoftBank is now is a huge money in that is WeWork, right? And WeWork is essentially falling apart. And SoftBank is the only solution. Morgan Stanley or somebody wanted them to declare bankruptcy. This is like a month after they're supposed to come public, right? They're going out of business. You can't write fiction like this. I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's not. It's hurting a lot of people.
I'm just laughing because the timing is amazing.
Oh, it is. And so now they've got this guy, the former head. They want to boot him out. Okay, so he owns like 20% of the company, stock wise. Now SoftBank wants to take ownership of the place, so they essentially want to buy this guy out. All right, but if they don't pay him anything, which he doesn't deserve anything, but they're actually going to give the guy it's going to be paid off in stages, but they're going to give the guy $1.7 billion. Now, what you might say is, you are very into this corporate management stuff. Why the bleep would you give this guy $1.7 billion to go away when the place is totally screwed up under his watch? And by the way, it's going down a rat hole. Now, you might say, Matty Weber, why would you ever write that check?
I think that's the way to get fired, isn't it? If you go out with over a billion?
Even the guys on CNBC yesterday were totally, I mean, we talked about this on the show yesterday morning, like, what is going on here? Well, it turns out, because Jeff was doing some research into it, they want the guy out of his stock. And they don't want the stock, because if they mark the stock to zero, essentially tell the guy that his investment is worthless, because he owns 20% of the company, that they've essentially they have to mark their stuff to zero. Right?
Right, so they don't want to do that.
They don't want to do that. So they'd rather have the stock with a value, an internal value of $20 a share, which means that SoftBank doesn't have to take the huge hit on it, sort of like Boeing right now. So they'd rather give this guy $1.7 billion and value their stuff at like 6 or 7, or whatever the rest of it would be. No, it would be like $8 billion, and say the company's worth $8 billion and give this guy $1.7 billion to prove it, rather than say it's worth nothing and we're paying him squat. I read this stuff, Kevin. I do not believe it. It's like something. It's all the stuff I've made people listen to now for near 10 years. Now they know what I'm talking about. Is this bizarre or what? You could never do this at PTI because your stock gets valued every day by OCC and by DTC, and we tell you this is what it's worth. I could never say, don't worry, your stock's still worth $40 even though it's trading $2. It's exactly what these
guys are. And I'll prove it by paying you.
Yeah, I'll prove it by paying. I mean, this is incredible. This guy, this guy born with a horseshoe up his behind or what? By the way, my stock is worthless, but you're giving me $1.7 billion for it because you don't want to say yours is worthless? Of all my years being in the business, I've never seen anything like this. I'm sure I've seen it. I've just never seen it explained exactly like this. I'm sure it's happened before, you know. But at least people were smart enough to cloud up what they're doing. What if these guys? What does the boardroom of SoftBank think about this? If the thing totally tanks in the next 3 months? Wait a minute. We just gave a guy almost $2 billion for stock we knew was no good.
And now their stock winds up being no good anyway. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I give that probably a 40% chance of happening, or 25 or something.
So if in their situation, where do they get that kind of capital in the first place?
Well, SoftBank's huge.
Okay.
And they don't want their investment in this place. It's basically throwing good money after bad, trying to prop it up for a while.
That always works.
It always works. Well, you know, if you're incredibly lucky, it could work. You know, I mean, if all of a sudden, you know, you get some massive contract in the middle, you never even I two things yesterday. This was stunning me, and I still don't know the full story on this this drug by Biogen. They kept going with the study without telling anybody, and expanded it and gave everybody a higher dose. And it turns out the stuff works. I've never heard anything like that, Kevin. Did all of a sudden you?
Yeah, I did see that story. Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah. Usually, when you stop the thing, you basically say this drug's no good, and you stop. But obviously, not this time. You know, obviously, if at
first you don't succeed.
Well, I mean, especially when people get older. I mean, unfortunately, my parents never. But I had, you know, a couple uncles and Audrey. I don't know. I mean, God, I can't think. If somebody said, "I'll give you a cure for Alzheimer's or a cure for cancer," I don't know which I'd grab first. I mean, as a society. Probably the cancer one, but it'd be pretty close, Kevin.
Yeah, well, it would be. Unfortunately, we don't have to. It's not a binary choice. So
no,
we keep working on both of them.
But is there some chance, electoral wise, that we're going to get some sort of a problem solver versus problem creator somewhere between now and next November?
No.
Why?
No. I have the giant meteor bumper magnet out there for a reason.
So the big guy upstairs gave us Washington, Lincoln, and Roosevelt, and he says, that's three. Now you're on your own, or what?
Yeah, I'll spot you three.
I'll spot you
three.
Otherwise,
you know, it's all up to you. You know what? I look down the road, because I am really coming to the belief that Trump will be reelected.
Oh, so am I.
And so the question starts to be, what's after that? Because we know, and he's, you know, the man's all about chaos. he truly is. And I've said that before. I've seen people in leadership roles that are like that, and I never think it's good. I sort of get the disruption, and there are people who advocate for for creating chaos for a while, but it has to have an end game, which I sure don't see here. But what's going to come afterwards? Are we going to snap back to sort of the status quo politician? Okay, we had our flirtation with that outsider, and now we're going to go back to the same olds. Or are people really going to emerge out of this who really will be different?
I don't think
I don't know who that is now, but I don't think that if I were to say, okay, who's our 2024 person? That's my question: is who's out there, who's in a leadership role now, who could grow into that? That we should all start paying attention to fill in the blank.
I don't think we can go. The more, and I should stop doing this, Kevin. I should just start reading books where, you know, guy meets girl, everybody's happy, or something, that kind of stuff. Read about sports,
Western novels,
yeah,
novels of the old West.
Yeah, or you know, guy finds new property.
Go all in on Dane Gray.
Yeah, finds ranch, raises cattle never get sick, finds in the middle of nowhere, good looking wife, has great kids, you know, that kind of stuff. I should start reading that, you know, just to make myself feel better.
Actually, you should read that at least once in a while, Tom.
Yeah, I should.
Because we do need to know that it isn't all goofy.
Yeah, but I the more I read about our history and the people who kind of showed up just at the right time, I also am very aware, Kevin, of how close we came to not being where we are. And I know people like you have a point of view, and by the way, rightfully so, that there will be a 2024, and there'll be a normal election, and we'll listen to people, and we'll quote, be ourselves. I don't know that in 1936, when you had what was going on in the South and lynching people and the amount of people who were in bad shape and eating, you know, sawdust and bacon grease, and then, I don't know that we weren't really, really close to not being ourselves. And I'm sure during Lincoln's time, there were nights, that's why the man had incredible depression. The guy went to sleep a million nights thinking that he wasn't going to pull this off. And he came, he got there by the skin of whatever. I mean, it was, you know, he's a brilliant man. He had people under him, but still, it sure couldn't have felt like victory to him. You know, it's like, what's his name? Gibbs on NCIS, where the guy said, have you ever lost a fight? And he goes, I never felt like I won one. You know, I mean, right? I mean, if you got any kind of brains, that's the way you're supposed to think. I'm not so sure that it wasn't very close in Washington's era. If Washington wasn't an incredible strategist, I mean, we're here. I mean, the Battle of Midway could have gone the other way, right? Very easily. Scout number 12 wouldn't have had bad engine trouble and they would have spotted our guys first. And then the Western Pacific would look a lot different than it does today. I mean,
if you want to take a version of that, just take, I can't remember if it was Amazon or who that had it as a TV series, but the book, The Man in the High Castle, is about the scenario where Germany and Japan won World War II.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would think that...
And Tom, I don't mean to say, as we look, you know, are we going to, are we going to find the philosopher king as our response to what the 4 and possibly 8 years are, or are we just going to be worse? Is this partisan divide? I mean, if you look at it, look at the politics that, you have this kind of weird conservative coalition that, and a big part of it right now is that. That you got a lot of people who just don't want what the Democrats are selling in general. They don't want Warren or Bernie or whoever because those policies aren't good either. Even if you think the diagnosis is right, that the policies themselves are not, and so we still have to deal with that too. Is that political faction going to get stronger, or? And who's going to pay the price on the left if Trump does win? Is it going to be the more socialistic types who are going to get blamed for losing, or is it going to be the establishment Democrats? Pelosi's and Biden's and people like that are they going to get washed out of that party? There's a lot, just kind of laying out there for what happens next. And I don't know what to make of it. I'm not sure what will happen next.
I'm going to say that in deference to our current POTUS, what the chaos that we're seeing now has been 25 years in the making, 30 years in the making, easy. He's just the last part of it. I think everybody before him in his own way was singularly inept.
Yeah, but it might not be the last part of it. There might be a last part of it yet to come.
We
might start getting better. I don't know.
But when you hit bottom, you might come back up, you might not. I've seen that in the security business forever. I've seen stocks go to $5 and 15 swinging idiots come out and say, it's the bottom, you gotta buy it. And then sometimes I see it trading one and bankrupt 4 months later. How many times was there a bottom in Sears? Or it might be the bottom, and 2 years later it's 30, and why didn't you buy it? You idiot, I did, and I'm a genius, So, I mean, this, what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to, I often think, how does somebody get there, Kevin? And, I never saw myself in politics or anything, but, once in a while I'll sit there driving along, and we're stuck in traffic, and I go, okay, what if it was me? What if it was me? Suppose Kevin and I ran. I mean, we'd have a good group around us, though, between Jeff and Brendan and Carl and those guys. I'll tell you what, we'd have a nice kitchen cabinet, wouldn't we? But let's say you and I ran. Where the hell can we actually run from? We can't run on the Republican side, even though Kevin's Republican, because he's not going to appeal to the lunatic fringe over there. There's no way on earth I appeal to the Democratic side, their lunatic fringe. I mean, I'm way too conservative money-wise and those kinds of things. They don't want me. So, okay, we run as an independent. Now, guess what? Both sides don't want us. How could we possibly get there from here? I mean, and I'm not saying you and me personally, but somebody like us, whether we're academic PhD guys or we're something. So if we don't get on some kind of a national TV show or some kind of a crazy show, if we don't, There's no way just talent works your way up the thing, or I won't even say talent, care, or willing to study the problem before you open up your mouth. Nobody, there's the talent they should teach in school. You know, my freshman guy and freshman brother Copper in high school. Remember to engage your brain before putting mouth in gear. Does anybody do that on tweets or anything these days? I mean, that's the lesson everybody should sort of, even the teachers. Understand what you're telling people before you go out and rant and rave in a demonstration. You're asking people to pay you more, and those people haven't had a raise in 20 years. Do you know that's what you're asking people? Well, no. Well, then maybe you should before you open up your friggin' mouth. Kevin, I don't know where that somewhat reasonable group, where does a Harry Truman, how does he get in the White House now? I don't see he gets there. The left doesn't want him, the right doesn't want him, and the center doesn't want him.
Any kind of traction.
No, the center. I think the worst thing. Look how quick this guy from Starbucks got his ass flung out. I mean, he went in on both sides. Said we don't want this guy. He's too rational. He lasted what, a month?
Or simple. Yeah. That, you know, you take Tulsi Gabbard and look at, you know, what's been and it's not just Hillary Clinton's latest comments. They've been going after her for being a little bit different, and she's. You know, she's too far left for my taste.
Well, and you know, another thing, you know, we have a.
I tend to like her, but you know, from a policy standpoint, I got a big problem with a lot of what she supports. But you know, she rocks the boat a little bit. She calls people on some of their BS, and as a result, she just gets, you know, she's taking it from all sides.
We have Professor Rhodes with us here, listening in.
I'd hang out with Tulsi, but I wouldn't vote for her.
Well,
I think that's what you were saying, actually.
Well, did you hear?
Yeah,
she seems like a pretty cool person, but
what has she done to be excoriated?
You know what she did?
Sort of culminating in that, well, she's a Russian asset.
No, it's not a Russian asset. She's one of the, you know, they have the superdelegates on the Democrat side, and she's basically out of everybody that's maybe got a chance, she's the only one that went with Bernie as a superdelegate. So that's the problem between her and Hillary right there. But all the rest of them were superdelegates for Hillary.
Well, right now, I don't see how any adult can enter this fray with any chance of, where does
God knows I wouldn't do it. I actually said in my ethics class last night that I'd rather be in a federal prison for 4 years than be president.
Well, you'd have to
plus what you have to go through to try and
show your ethics class the Stanford prison experiment. Show them some videos about that.
Oh, that thing's awesome.
And then tell them you'd rather be in that prison.
Well, no, I'm talking about we were talking about the risk reward of financial crimes and country club prison. So,
well, but
I know I totally took a left on you guys there.
No, but that was one of the most fascinating classes I had in University of Chicago.
Oh yeah,
was how and why the. You know, a bank gets a fine of $4 million where if you don't put $2 in the parking meter, the fine's $75.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane when you think about it.
The risk-reward as far as, you know, if I risked a couple years in jail or doing something that sets me for life, I might risk it. Maybe not now because two years in jail is a much bigger percentage of my life than it was 20, 30 years ago, but...
Well, you could have been buddies with Joey the Clown, would you say?
Somebody I went to school with is actually buddies with Bernie Madoff right now. Says he's learning a lot and can't wait to get out and use it.
Oh, God. Kevin, did you... Is that true?
Yes.
Wow. Did you... Kevin, did you take the money line with Illinois? Put up 100 and make 200?
No, I don't bet on sports.
Well, there's one you should have bet on.
Yeah, definitely should have. That would have worked.
I can tell you what stock I should have bought on Monday right now.
Oh God, yeah. Well, just happy you weren't short the calls at 50 cents that opened up at like 50. Kevin, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you on Friday. SP Futures. By the way, Lou loved being out with you Friday. You guys are.
Oh yeah, I enjoy Lou. We need to book some like full segments when both of us can be there for the hour.
Well, the issue is when I had AV, she's not as much of an ally as Maddie, so you guys had me outgunned. But I think I did okay.
You know, I think with me and Lou, we have you outgunned anyway.
Yes. So you're saying Maddie's not much help? Is that what you just said?
No, I'm just saying the overwhelming brain power is just too much to overcome.
What if AV hits you up with it?
Chief, I'll come be on your team.
Yeah, AV, when AV hits you up with that proper English, she sounds like the fifth grade school teacher. Go, Tom, go. And I'm like, what the hell?
Hey, you know, I actually, she's really doing well, isn't she?
Yes,
yeah,
is.
She keeps us in line.
She's kind of picked up the job and is doing it pretty well. And, you know, I think Matt is in big danger of being Wally Pipped here.
Well, I'll tell you
it's
what.
Possible.
But she has zero interest in sports and never will. So that's a problem.
All right, so we got to keep Matt around just
a little bit. He's our sports editor, yes.
Matty, you're off the hook.
That's going to be futures minus 6. NASDAQ futures minus 850. Boeing is now up on the day. I don't know how the hell that works. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jacks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters, the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes, and we're not going to call him a professor, Mr. Matt Weber, on the board. S&P futures down 6.
Definitely not a professor.
Down. Well, you might be a professor at some stuff. You're a professor at, at sports.
He is a professor of sports. I would defer to him in a heartbeat.
I have a question for you that I could not ask you on Monday since you were not here. Mm-hmm. The person, not you, Matt Weber, the New Orleans Saints, when they spanked the Bears pretty good, all they did was kept whining about how their number one running back was out. Could he be any bitter than the guy they had in? That guy Murray looked like Eric Dickerson to me.
Well, a couple of things. One, they're different players. Kamara is much more of a guy out of the backfield that catches passes and screen game, and they run gadget plays for him. He returns punts. He's really more of a third down back that is just electric, and just highly skilled, kind of like a better version of Tariq Cohen.
Okay.
Latavius Murray historically has been a number one running back that, you know, his best years are behind him, but in a short spurt where he's not playing every week, and you use him, you know, three or four times a year as a starter, he's still as good as anybody. He just doesn't, you know, he's older now. He just doesn't have the ability to do that.
But he's big and strong. He's bigger than linebackers. He's got that so upright running.
He was like a car coming out of the garage for the first time during week seven. And he hadn't played all season except for, you know, a couple of mop-up duty situations. So he was fresh. The offensive line took advantage of Hicks being out and pushed the Bears 3 yards back on every single play. And he had a huge game, and he was a monster. Now, if you were relying on him every week, there's no way you could get that of him at this age.
Well, I believe also it was that game I'm looking.
But yeah, for that was his first time being used all year, and he looked fresher than anybody on the field. He was dynamite.
Well, you know, the Pittsburgh had a playoff game a long time ago. This is when Jerome Bettis was way past his prime, and he hadn't played. He had this little nagging injury, this little nagging. He hadn't played in forever. They put him in the second half of this game, and he walked in, and they tackle him, and then they're pointing at each other, and somebody like challenged him, like giving you old man stuff. For the next 15 runs, he was barreling people. God knows what he felt like the next day, but it sort of was like this guy. I mean, he's bigger than the linebackers, this guy. Murray.
Yeah, Murray's great. He was great in Oakland for many years. Then he went to Minnesota. And was their backup, and then of course ended up starting a lot of last year when Dalvin Cook got hurt, and he was solid. And then this year the Saints brought him in, and the Saints, I mean, talk about a well-run organization. They bring in their Bridgewater, their backup quarterback. Is he the best backup quarterback in the NFL? I would say yes. They haven't missed a beat with Drew Brees out. They bring in Latavius Murray, who might be the best backup running back in the NFL. And so they have depth and veteran guys, and they're able to overcome these injuries, and they look like they're the best team in the NFC right now, and they haven't had their quarterback all season.
Well, they claim they have the two best tackles in the league, their tackle tandem.
And it's not like they're drafting high. They've been an elite team for, what, 12 years now? I mean, they played against the Bears in the NFC Championship game back in 2006, and they won the Super Bowl, 2010 or whatever it was. And they've been a Super Bowl contender basically every year. So they're not drafting high. They're just drafting better than everyone else. They got Kamara, the guy you were talking about that's injured, I think in the second or third round. And he's been the most explosive running back in the NFL the last couple of years.
Where did the Patriots get their left tackle out of Georgia? I mean, that's why Georgia's not as good this year.
They got him out of Georgia.
Well, I understand that. But I'm saying, what did they have to trade up for that pick? I mean, the dude the first game looked like he was an all-pro.
The Patriots never trade up. In fact, they usually trade down. So I'd have to look, but very rarely do they ever draft high. They pretty much are willing to trade first and second round picks. In fact, they traded a second round pick yesterday, their 2020 second round pick, for Mohamed Sanu.
Well, you look at the few guys that are in the NFL from Georgia. No wonder Georgia's not as good as they were last year.
Yeah. The Patriots famously will stockpile, you know, 10 or 12 picks rounds 3 through 7 over, you know, just having 6 or 7 picks and be able to draft in round 1 and 2.
Well, that was a... That guy's a man among men, and I think New Orleans has done the same thing. And the Bears, if this Trubisky is a bust, God bless, how many number one draft picks in the last 15 years have they wasted on quarterbacks? Like 7 or 8? And never had a good one?
Right, well, yeah, they traded to move up for Trubisky, and then they traded a couple of first-round picks for Khalil Mack. And that's going to affect them.
Is Khalil Mack, you think he's anywhere near the same player with Hicks not on the field?
He wasn't on Sunday.
Or a week before.
I mean, they didn't call his name maybe once or twice the whole game, and it's not like, you know, he did get to Bridgewater a couple of times, but Bridgewater was able to kind of shake out of it.
By and large, that tackle handled him pretty much alone.
Yeah, but I think the Bears miss Hicks immensely. I think the fact that the defense was on the field the entire game.
Well, that makes a huge difference.
The time of possession was like 37 to 23, yeah, which is just I mean, I don't care how good your defense is. If they're on the field twice as much as the offense, you got no shot.
Well, if anybody's ever played football, especially on the line side, it's way easier to play offense than defense.
But you had Trubisky, who did not play well. You had the offense, who fumbled twice in their own territory.
Yep.
So your defense gets a stop, you know, offense gets the ball back. Once, you know, is a handoff to Montgomery, he fumbles. The other is a pass to Miller, he catches it, and then he fumbles. So it's instant defense right back on the field. The special teams was horrible, allowing a block punt and really a punt return for a touchdown that shouldn't have been called back. They were fortunate that it was. And then they had no commitment to the running game, so that when they did have the ball and didn't turn it over, it was you know, maybe one first down and then two incompleted passes, and now it's third and long, and you know, then you hand it right back. There's no running the ball and moving the clock and you know, keeping New Orleans off balance. It was just a horrible performance by the coaching staff, the quarterback, the special teams, the offense, and then it led to the defense being bad as well.
Well, I just The thing that's been a bare standby, Russell, I used to go to these games with my uncle. The guy's been dead since 78. And we used to go, and somehow or another, the Bears always, either by pattern or by something, they always tip off their running plays. People know exactly when they're running. You see the linebackers walk up two steps, they run. They walk back two steps, they pass. And they, when they go three and out, like on passing, I'm going to say, Matty, there's a 95% chance that the coach or somebody from the press box says, what are you guys doing? We've got to run the ball. The next time they're on the field, they'll run on the first down, and 11 defensive guys are standing out the line of scrimmage. I mean, it's so obvious to everybody that the next play is going to be a running play because they just pass three times and run successful. I mean, somewhere or another, this is all getting – I mean, is it just me, or is it so obvious that
Well, I think their offensive line has been horrendous, yeah, all season. Whereas last year they had a couple of Pro Bowl guys, and even when Kyle Long got hurt last year, their offensive line was still well above average. This year, I mean, part of it is I don't think Montgomery has looked very good, and they missed Jordan Howard maybe more than they thought, and they're trying to use Cohen, and he's not a between the tackles type back. I mean, we know that. He's 5'6", for God's sake.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is the offensive line just hasn't opened up very many holes, and then it allows the defense just to focus on the pass rush. And they haven't been able to pass block either. So Mitch, even as inaccurate and inconsistent as he's been, he's also been running for his life out there, with not a lot of time. So, you know, whereas Bridgewater, there was times where Bridgewater had 8 seconds,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
standing back there in the pocket, just surveying.
Yeah.
I mean, any quarterback's gonna pick you apart with that type of time. So I think the offensive line is a lot to blame as well. But I don't know. There's just no commitment to the running game, and maybe it's because they know the offensive line hasn't been very good and Montgomery hasn't been very good. It's been a disastrous start to the season, and yet they're 3-3. It's not like they're 0-6. You really felt
a couple of games that they've lost should have been in the win column. I mean, they lost to Oakland, and yet
that's a game they had to win.
The Packers, yeah, destroyed Oakland,
and
you know, so.
Right, and then the Packer game, you know, they only allowed 10 points, and we've seen how good the Packers offense has been all year, but the Bears offense was just horrendous and couldn't move the ball and only scored 3 points.
The Packer defense is way better than people thought it was going to
be. Yeah, it was early. I mean, they got lit up last week against Oakland.
Yeah,
their defense did, but their offense put up, you know, 50 points. So, I don't know. The schedule doesn't get any easier. I mean, you look at, like, Dallas and New England, who just play absolutely nobody every week. And, you know, obviously it's, yeah, luck of the schedule. But those teams were both playoff teams, and their schedule is just really easy. And the Bears, every week, it's like they're playing a playoff team or a Hall of Fame quarterback.
The part of that, how can I phrase this? Then we'll get on to some business. Part of that is okay, because if the entire division is playing another good division, at least they all play the same people.
That's true.
I mean, so, mm-hmm, yeah, I mean,
the NFC North is really good.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you end up playing the, what's the one that's horrible? Is it the South with Atlanta? Or are the guys,
yeah,
the
I mean, that's
South.
That division's not great, yeah.
So, I mean, if you end up playing that one, it's, at least you and your other guys are playing, but it's up to you to win one when the other guy in your division loses. I mean, and it's not what the issue with the Bears is, the game they had to have, if you looked at their schedule, if they were going to do really, really well, they needed to beat the Saints here, because they had the two games, them and the Rams out there, that they picked up that nobody else. They're on national TV, you know, they're like four or five times. Ugh.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you have the LA market that doesn't care and you have the New York market that's split in half because they have two teams, you could argue Chicago has the biggest NFL market. So any time that they think the Bears are going to be good, they're going to put them on national TV as much as they can.
How's that working? They better get a little bit better. Hey, Russell, I got a...
Yes, I just wanted to say one thing about the game. It's the first game I've been to at the new Soldier Field. My sister and one of her friends, who's a big New Orleans Saints fan. My youngest daughter has really taken to football. She can, when a flag gets thrown in the backfield, she knows it's holding right off the bat. I mean, she really has, she understands it quite well. And she actually has equated it to dance because she's a big dancer and the whole choreography thing with plays.
Wow. Is she a Bears fan?
We had she had a great time. She loved, you know, listening to the guys drop the F-bombs and throw fits about what was going on and all that kind of
stuff. Were you with the Great Unwashed or you with the cool guys?
I was on the front row of the 300 section for the United Club.
So you're with the cool guys.
That's a good spot.
Yeah, it really was good spot. And you know, especially taking a kid, I wanted to make sure she could see the whole field the whole time. So I
imagine those were cheap.
Were not cheap. Yeah. I think, you know what? I actually think the four tickets cost a little bit more than my first car.
There you go.
What were the face on them?
You don't know what the face is on them because they send you this electronic thing.
Oh, okay.
So I have no idea what
I'm going to guess they're $1.50 easy, maybe two.
Oh,
because they're 90 up in the Great
Unwashed. What's 300 section for the United Club? I really have no idea.
I think the Great Unwashed or the upper non-seat license ones are 90 or 95. So.
Yeah, and they were like 150, 180 online right before the game.
Yeah.
But that was my great Bears experience.
Well, cool.
But no, she had a great time. She had a great day all around. I've got extra Walter Payton bobbleheads laying around the house. It's awesome.
Well, were you your nose stuck to financial TV like I unfortunately have, and with all the debates now of taxation and taxing the rich and all this other kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
The debate is coming up again as to how much tax really should wealthy people pay? What should be the top?
A lot.
Okay, all right. What I'm saying is...
They're not paying their fair share.
Here's what I'm... where I'm coming with this is that I can quote you a couple of things from Milton Friedman, okay, who's been dead for 20 years, and a couple of things he said I can quote, but if I don't tell you the differences in the world between time A and now, I'm essentially, in my mind, lying, okay?
Okay.
So, in other words, if he says you don't need to worry about front-running or insider trading, the market will take care of it. Okay, it'll police itself. He was talking about an open outcry market where you got to see the person you traded with. Hey, he would have said that if he knew there was an electronic market and everybody was...
It doesn't transfer to the lack of transparency have today.
And also, the idea that our regulators actually give a crap is insane. Because if they give a crap if it's you or me, they don't give a crap if it's the right people. And I'll say that on national TV if they put me on there because I've watched it for 40 years. The other thing is, when you ask a student asked him, how much do you have a problem with national debt? And he said, I have no problem with national debt because it's like a household. You borrow $50 from your wife, the house has the same equity, right? And he says, if the government borrows money from their citizenry, it's an asset on one balance sheet and it's a liability on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, he didn't realize that at some point, 50% of that's going to be from people out of the country. He would not have said that, I don't think, if he had thought that phenomenon was even possible.
Yeah.
So you got to be sort of careful. So yesterday, they were asking all these economists what the top rate should be at the federal level. And some guys are coming out with like 60% and so forth. And I am so vehemently opposed to that, even though I'm not a one percenter. I think there's a moral number there. Two things. There's a moral number there, and there's a if you want people to press ahead and take on projects, you can't charge them 60% if they win and only take $3,000 off a year if they lose.
Yeah.
That's horrendous math. That's like if I go to the blackjack table, if I win I make $1, if I lose it costs me $2. I mean I can't do that. I mean it's just not Nobody.
Right. But, it ruins the risk-taking incentive.
But also, the people who come up with these numbers, they tell you, well, 1977 it was this, 1970 was this. Mm-hmm. It was a different world. Your deductions, because I took taxes when I was in college a long time ago, your deductions were dramatically higher than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the danger with a government that says, and I go back to what I've said, you know, 20 years ago. There's a danger in, we're going to lower the tax rates, but you're going to get rid of the deductions. Because one day when they're broke, which they always are, they're going to say, well, let's raise the tax rates back up again. By the way, they were just there, and we did fine. Yeah, but whoa, you're going to put the deductions back in? No. So now if you talk about a 60% rate for the, quote, upper group, whatever your top end is, I'm going to say in 1974, when I was taking taxes, there was no state tax anywhere. Was there?
I don't think so.
If you raise the top end federal level to 60%, I'm going to guess that in California, the guy's over 100.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
In New York, there's a city and a state tax. What is it at? 10%? So we're talking 70, 75%. On what planet, on what free country do you take, not to mention, property taxes and everything else are way higher than they were back then. I remember a sales tax in Chicago being 6%. Now it's 11. Okay. The world has changed so much that when those rates were 60%, you can't even go there and say, now that's a fair number. If we're going to drop sales tax down to 6, drop property taxes where they were in 1974, drop all that other crap down, and then I'll roll with you. But they're not willing to do that.
And the deductibles were different. You know,
yeah.
I can actually remember when sales tax was deductible. If you hung on to all of your receipts, you know, I had a friend who, you know, they go to McDonald's and they hang on to the receipt because you could deduct your sales tax.
Well, but you never had to do that.
Well,
Here's what you could do, because I remember doing taxes for people in those days, back when I knew something about taxes, and they were simpler. What you could do is if you made $20,000,
uh-huh.
Okay, there in your income tax booklet you got, right, there was an income tax table, or a sales tax table.
Uh-huh.
It said if you made $20,000, you probably spent 12 of it or something. And they took 6% of the 12.
And they said,
you get to deduct $800. But if you bought a car or something where there was a big item, mm-hmm. you could take that in addition to the other. So say you actually went out and bought a car and you had $300 that you paid on the car because the car was, you know, $4,000 or something. You got to take the $600 from the table and the $300 extra from the car.
And that just, those things don't apply
anymore. They totally don't apply. Yeah. So for somebody, basically. Some economist to opine, well, we were 60% once before.
Yeah, we were, but.
That's like giving me a pair of shorts that I used to wear when I was 25 and running every day.
Well,
and say they used to apply. They don't apply anymore. I can't get them on.
Oh, it's like the, it's on the other side of it. It's like Target is now, they've instituted a $15 minimum wage at Target, but they cut a lot of people's hours to under 30 hours, and which means they don't get health benefits anymore. So the employees are actually netting out worse than they were before the $15. You can't look at that income tax number in a vacuum, and you can't look at the $15 in a vacuum. And you can't look at, to get back to what you were really fired up about first thing this morning, you can't look at, the teachers should not be looking at what they get in a vacuum. And I honestly think that the teachers I don't think they perceive that their neighbors are the ones paying their salaries.
No, absolutely not.
I really don't. I think I think there's a big number of people that believe that when you work for a government entity, that it's just the government's money, and they don't really perceive that it comes from somewhere, and they believe that the government can just print the money, and it does not work that way. It catches up with you at some point.
Do you think the people at Lockheed and Boeing and all these other places that overcharge and everything, that they think it's their neighbors paying or care? They say everybody else is cheating. We got to get ours.
Yeah,
right.
There's some of that. Yeah, there's some of that as well. But the teacher, I didn't realize they were going to go on strike until the first day that they did, and I had to drive in that morning, and I drove by two or three schools, and I was like, "Are you kidding with me?"
Yeah.
And poor Lori Lightfoot. Yeah. I really feel bad for her. I do. I don't think she had an idea. They say when we get a new president in the United States that they'll get tested internationally, you know, like North Korea will launch a missile or something, and, you know, just people will start to test them a little bit. You know, if I remember correctly, the last time that there was a real problem between the teachers union and basically it is the mayor's office because the mayor selects the school board, I feel like it was like about a year into Rahm being president or being right. mayor. And I just wonder if that's a pattern with the teachers union. When they get somebody new in, they feel like this is the time to go after them.
Here's you know what? As you know, I'm always was very pro-union on a private side.
Yeah, there's a yeah. And that, and I'm not against you know, unions whatsoever. I do think that there's, and keep in mind, I was on a school board and I negotiated against a union.
Well,
they hated me so much. Oh. They basically ran my kids out of their schools.
I wouldn't be, I mean, if I'm sitting on the fifth floor right now, and which God, I wouldn't want that job. But if I
nope,
was there,
that's another you one you'd rather be in federal pen.
You know where I'm going to today? I'm getting my attorney in there, and I'm saying, "Where's the bankruptcy application? This thing is going Ooh. Before a bankruptcy judge. The judge is going to tell them to get back to work as we negotiate it through the bankruptcy process, and everything's up in the air, pension and whatever.
Oh
and,
yeah.
And you know what? If the state constitution says we got to pay these pensions no matter what, let them come up with the money because we don't have it." Because I think the public schools, the Board of Education, is a separate entity, I believe, from the city.
No, the Board of Education is actually selected by the mayor.
I'm talking about as something that could declare bankruptcy on its own.
Oh, the yeah,
I'm not positive on that.
But. Well, the it's stated that the pensions have to be paid, but if the pension fund doesn't have the money, I'm sure that there's some sort of bankruptcy situation that
but I'm
could
saying
happen
I don't
there.
The way when you get your yep. tax bill uh-huh. I think even like the park district
oh yeah yeah
theoretically
yeah.
No, you declare bankruptcy
it's a different account
it's a different
yeah
so saying,
it and I yeah I know that
I'm
from
saying,
oh, I know that from again being
I'm
on
saying,
a school
you see
board
this, you see this thing on the table that yeah. you guys don't want guess what it's off the table
yep
and by the way the bankruptcy court's going to say anybody's not working over 3 weeks we're hiring new people mm-hmm. I mean, I don't ever want to go there because I didn't like
no.
Ronald Reagan when he did it with the air controllers but there is a point here where we don't have the dough. And by
right.
the way, you guys were complicit two or three of the years when we didn't make contributions to the pension plan because you wanted a raise instead. At least we're pulling those two or three years out of the pension number.
You know.
And oh, by the way, nobody's getting a check ever till you're 65, as long as I'm here. None of this 55 years old, 58, unless you're disabled, you don't get a pension check till you're 50, 65. You can say all you want about Social Security, you can't get a check when you're 50.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't get Social Security.
I understand it.
Yeah.
Because I actually work
but,
there.
You know, and I think the as far as looking at it, you in the first
well, they don't
hour,
pay
you
Social
referred,
Security
you,
either.
You referred to it as a business, and Chicago is a shrinking business.
Well, yeah.
It is. I mean, they're the net flow of people is out.
Because of stuff
so,
like this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm thrilled I don't live in the city now. Which is funny because all I ever wanted to do growing up was move up here, and now I'm actually kind of happy that I'm not in the city proper anymore, and I'm also happy that I have the ability to, once my children have chosen their path, to get to move away out of Illinois. If it were up to me, I'd be living in Indiana and commute again right now. But don't
well,
get
so
to
who's
do
it
that.
Up to?
Do what?
Who's it up to?
There are three other people in the family that
overrule
and, they,
you?
And their votes count 95%.
You are not master of your house?
Oh, God, no. You know that.
This is not good. Is the dog at least male?
No. There are three female dogs, two daughters, and I'm married to a woman right now.
You got to at least get a male dog.
I know. Well, one of them's kind of, it's a beagle, so it's sort of boy-like. The other two are pugs.
I got sort of a boy like
yeah.
I got a gay dog. It's the best I could do.
I got a gay female dog.
Oh God, S&P yeah. futures down 3. S&P futures down 450. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox.
The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. Mr. Russell Rhodes, Mr. Matt Weber. We have our resilient market because the Fed must have been buying Caterpillar this morning. Big headline, Caterpillar reports, stock in the crapo, badly miss. I got the stock up 38 cents now. Boeing that was down 7 on their earnings and now up 5 because they didn't come out with any greater losses somehow. How they managed to do that, I have no idea. SP futures down 3. NASDAQ futures now up 375. Of course, we had a huge sell-off into the close last night in the futures that were lower than the S&Ps. We're down 11, but the futures were actually down 16.5. So, that was a kind of an unusual close. Dow's down 38. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 4, call that flat. FTSE up 21.3%, CAC around down 31.6%, so not much going on in Europe. Same way over in Asia. Nikkei up 76.3%, Shanghai down 12.4%, Hang Seng down 219.8%. Bonds little change, stars up to 173 from 177, so down a little bit. One down to 0.40 versus minus 0.39. Japan the same at minus 0.13, the same as yesterday, same as for the last 4 days. Oil down 48 cents, 54 bucks. Brent down 48 cents, 59 bucks. Natural gas 227, RBOB gas 160. Gold is up 920, 1496. Silver up 9 cents, 1759. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. So the game two's tonight, right?
Game two's tonight, 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Traffic building steadily on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways, but no accidents to report on the Edens or Kennedy. Same for the Eisenhower. At Stevenson, Southside Expressway is looking okay. The only accident to report right now appears to be on the Tri-State. Looks like on the southbound side just before 47th Street, there's an accident blocking the right lane. This is causing heavy delays on the Tri-State in both directions. Gapers on the northbound side, but the crash is on the southbound side blocking the right lane at 47th Street. But that's our only major concern as far as the expressways are concerned. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine early, a bit warmer than yesterday, but still chilly and windy. A high of 59 degrees today. Right now it's clear and 43 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 91. Right now it's clear and 61. In sports, Game 1 is in the books in the 2019 World Series, and it was the Nationals upsetting the Astros in Houston 5-4 last night, so they lead the best of 7, 1-0. Game 2 tonight between Strasburg and Verlander, so another big-time starting pitching matchup tonight. In hockey, the Blackhawks lost at home in a shootout to Vegas last night 2-1. Coyotes beat the Rangers 3-2 in overtime. NBA season tipped off last night, but the Bulls begin their campaign tonight in Charlotte. That's a 6 p.m. tip-off, Bulls versus Hornets. The Suns open their season tonight as well, hosting the Sacramento Kings, 7 p.m. tip-off, Arizona time. Chief.
I'm going to say that I will not watch a game this year.
NBA game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with them, too.
I don't...
I've never been a huge fan, but... oh, well.
The routine players that are making $30 million a year is getting to me. Especially with this China thing. Go no further
that's
on
fine.
That, I guess.
There's lots of other things to do.
Yes. By the way, the...
We could both... You know, let's start a book club.
Yeah.
Okay.
All I know is I had a lady who worked for me on the floor years and years ago. And every time they went to a book club, I ended up with a date.
Well,
so all you did was talk
I guess
about...
I guess we probably shouldn't start a book club then.
No. Well, okay. We could get... Well, who do we need? Who do we know that needs dates? Maybe Kevin could use a date.
No. Oh, Kevin. Yeah.
We don't... everybody else is pretty much taken.
Yes.
Well,
happy. We're both happy, too, right?
Yeah. One of the ladies here works in the office is in a book club, and they have a hard and fast rule. You can only talk about boyfriends and husbands 70% of the time.
I gotcha. Yeah, my wife's in two book clubs,
you gotta at least
our
do
previous
30%.
Neighborhood and our current neighborhood.
I'll bet your name comes up every meeting.
No.
I'm thinking
they don't
so.
Care about it. You know, for the life of me, I can't remember the show, but there was a show that was set in Chicago. And there were three married couples that went to the movies together, and the women are walking about 10 feet in front of the men, and the women are talking about, I don't know, just regular geopolitical stuff, and the guys are trailing behind them going, look at them, they're talking about us. No, they're talking about them. The women could have cared less. They're not talking about us. They're talking about each other. Have you not watched the Real Housewives shows?
Oh, God.
I know.
Anywho, so as we, wouldn't you think... That one of the things that drives my taxation angst with these people all opining is my tax guy at Notre Dame was Professor Dinkolo, the Dink. Students, he's a big guy, played football for like the Lions or somebody, huge man.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come in and he would talk, students, and he'd say, you know, all around the world, no matter what you do, he says, it seems like the tax rate that people actually get from people is about 25%. He goes, in Italy, you pay off the tax guy, their rates are supposedly 70%. You look at the governmental take, it's 25%. here our high rates at the time were 70%. He said, we got so many of these friggin' deductibles, it's 25%. He goes, once you get past that, there's just a resistance. You know, you might be able to go 28 or 30, but there's just, no matter where you go, you know, you're sort of, unless you can clip a guy, a golf guy in California who wins his last term of the year on December 31st, he can't find anything to do with it. You're going to clip him for 70, that, you know, that in between everybody. But because if you look at the whole mess, and, you know, because there's just the resistance. Now, of course, it's probably, maybe it is higher now when you do all the, I think it is a lot higher when you take the property taxes and everything else here. I honestly believe, and, you know, this is not because I'm a 1% or anything, because I'm not, I actually think they're there. They're maxed out. But the discussion really should be how we're going to do things more efficiently from our end.
Oh, you think?
You think? And I, but I'm saying, but that also means, in a world of not growing. I mean, in my world, in Kevin's world, because we talk about it more, in Carl Denninger's world, and I believe yours, I think that what has to happen is, for instance, somehow in the next 4 years, whatever presidency it is, that the amount of money spent on medical care, amount of money spent, not the amount of care, needs to drop from 20 to 16 or 17 or 18. It needs to, because it's too high. Now, if that means that the little wise-ass guy that was charging $1,500 for the EpiPen, if that means the head of United Health doesn't make $40 billion, he makes 20, if that means that those guys are all taking a cut in what I think they shouldn't have, that's fine with me. You know, if it comes down to somebody making $15 an hour working as an MRI attendant has to go to 12, I'm not fine with that. Because I don't think that has to happen. I think the rewards in that industry are amazingly skewed. And if we put a needle in that bubble, I'm happy as a clam. You know, I mean, so I'm saying we have to look and see what we have to do. And I think that because we're not growing, the people that are doing very well sometimes are earning it. Sometimes they just happen to be an industry that's been paid for by insurance or has their nose up to behind the government or something, and they're sucking everybody else. Unfortunately, that's what these decisions, I think, have to be made a little bit. So, yes, the taxation, the idea that somebody pays $20,000 a year for hospitalization for his family is obscene. Now, does that mean that, a prescription drug goes from $4,000 a pill to $400? If it does, well, that's fine to me, Russell. Really?
Oh, absolutely.
As long as it doesn't cost him $1,000 per pill, and I'm going to bet that it never does. You know, if you want to say that in order for us to get this drug, we got to send Matty Weber in a diver's costume to go into some piranha infested river in the Amazon to pull out two male piranhas, and you know, it's from their seminal fluid or something, and it costs them $5,000 a pill. Well, then I get it. But I'm just saying, I doubt that's happening very often.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's not happening. I mean, the things are somewhat overpriced. I do understand that you want some extra money to go into potential research, but there's a happy medium in there, and I think we're skewed to the it's costing us too much.
Well,
sure. Yeah, a big part of the problem is that when you get government involved in certain things, they run less efficiently.
Well, why don't they enforce their laws?
Why don't they enforce their laws?
I mean, to me,
because you've got people that are very attractive with checkbooks that are lobbyists that are running around Washington D.C. Making sure that
how do we as a
things
society
favor their industry or their company?
All right, so let's take the simplest case.
Uh-huh.
There's, say, generic drugs out there. Say aspirin.
Uh-huh.
And there's five.
And there's more than one producer of aspirin.
Yeah, there's three. And aspirins are, 10 cents a pill.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, company A buys company C. And now they're 25 cents a pill, and company B goes along with it. Now the next day, next year, A buys B, and now they're $5 a pill. Now we have laws on the books that say that as soon as you see that, you go, and when you take your handcuffs, because this is now a felony, by the way, and you take the president, the top three guys in the entire board, and you put cuffs on them, and you walk out, and you say, this is a combination in the restraint of trade. Here's the Clayton Act. Here's the Sherman Act. It would be treble damages, and oh, by the way, it's a felony, and you guys are all in jail. The only way to do that really once or twice, I think, before people
oh,
get
yeah.
the idea.
Yeah.
Because it never happens.
Because the disincentive to allow something like that to happen is pretty bad.
By the way, the $5 million
and they don't get to go to country club jail.
No, and then, by the way, the $5 million on this, I don't even care about the jail part. The $5 million you made on this that you shouldn't have, the penalty is 50. It's like a parking ticket for you and me. You didn't pay $2. Here's $75 bill. Let's give these guys a shot of how the rest of us live.
Of what a real fine, you know, something that impacts your monthly budget.
Yeah, and
because the camera, the automated camera caught you going through that right on no turn on right red.
Speaking
thing.
Of which, guess where yes. I was yesterday?
Where?
Well, I also,
fighting a ticket.
No, I was.
You fought the man.
No, I actually watched myself on video, and they had me. There was nobody around. The usual thing that everybody has a, and I'm going to say that I was guilty. I went to make a right turn on red, and I didn't come to an absolute complete stop. You know, I went through it like 1 mile per hour. So they had me, right? So I paid it. $100. But no, the best is, have you gotten your driver's license lately?
No, I haven't, and I've got to take somebody to go take the test to get their learner's permit very soon.
Well, if you get your license now, you know, next year, being the
oh yeah, you
airplane
gotta,
guy you are.
Yeah, I know. I get reminded weekly at home about this.
Well, your driver's license is no good as an ID. Now, let me get this straight. Name me one person with an Illinois license that has used it to get on a plane that has blown the damn thing up. That all of a sudden this ID is not good enough. It's not like there's 100 of these incidents around the place that I can see.
Plus, you know, I mean, back in the day, I don't know if you ever participated in such, if there's a statute of limitations, so I can talk about this publicly, but, you know, there was a guy that would show up with a nice contraption at the fraternity house and make a bunch of fake IDs for us. The thing that state of Illinois gives us now with the hologram and everything else, I just don't think you can make a fake ID anymore.
No, I don't think you can
anymore.
I
could understand it if there, you know, if this thing wasn't so difficult to copy.
Indiana ones, if you got the blanks, and of course we knew somebody who managed to lift a box of blanks, you just typed it in with a typewriter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway,
at it now. It's got all kinds of weird holograms and stuff.
But that's not good.
I do not understand why.
Well, the federal government says it's not good. It's not the state.
Uh-huh.
The federal government, and the state has been fighting with them, and their last extension is up like April of 2020. And if you got a second, find out it's somewhere near next spring or summer that if you bring an Illinois license and you try and get on Southwest Air, you're not getting that.
Right. Can you use your passport?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, so I can just...
But not everybody has a passport. Not everyone's carrying around with them.
Is this one of the ways that we're going after immigrants?
Who knows? But
I'm actually serious.
I did not take your question lightly. No, I'm not sure. Maybe it is because... So then get a load of this. And, you know, and for me, I'm living in one place for a long time. It's not a big deal. But guess what I had to bring? I had to bring two utility bills, another sort of an ID... I needed to have something with my social security number, which I know my card is someplace, but I had to bring my W-2 because that isn't on there. It used to be on your driver's license, remember? Your social security
number. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you got to bring all this paraphernalia. So I go to the Thompson Center. Well, she notices that I'm over 65 when I showed her my license.
You're over 65?
A day.
Okay.
Yeah. So
congratulations.
Well, they shoved me in this other line. If I wasn't in the other line where I went right to the front, hour and a half wait.
Oh, yeah.
And there's got to be 40 people working on it. It's a huge procedure. They look at all these documents. They got to go through them all, passport and everything, and they make sure you got the two things of this, three things of that, and then they scan them all and send them downstate so somebody can approve them. And you got to go and sit down again, and they call you, and then you pay for it. But then they give you a temporary one, and they poke a hole in your old one, so it's not any good anymore. but for what? I mean, tell me how this has been abused. That this could
it
be
hasn't.
A,
well, it, I again, certain state, and I'm guessing here, but a lot of states, you know, there's the whole tug of war between the federal government and their stance on immigration and
it's part of it probably
and you know sanctuary cities, which I think we're in a sanctuary city right now, and I feel very unsafe because I'm in a sanctuary city.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, that could just be the federal government's way.
I feel unsafe here, but it has nothing to do with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it really could be the federal government's way of making it very difficult for undocumented folks in the United States to get their driver's license and, you know, ingrain themselves within society.
What do they call
it? That's the only reason that I could have come up with that. And I've thought of this before, not just off the cuff.
Russell, what do they call the people that are here, the people that are here that aren't citizens yet? What's the name for that? Because Kevin had one of them. The lady was on the show, Maddie. What's the name for it? The Hispanic lady from Indiana. It's been here since a child.
The dreamer?
Yeah, she's a dreamer. So she if she goes to school in Indiana, they won't give her the Indiana rate.
Oh, because she's really.
How bleeped up is
that? And she basically has spent her whole life in Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean,
what are we doing here?
If she's just spent her whole life in Indiana and, you know, living in a house where, even renting
in a car. She's clearly a resident.
Right. But I mean, the idea behind in-state, out-of-state tuition is each, you know, state school's getting a subsidy from state taxes. And whatever she's been doing in Illinois, in Indiana, whatever she's been doing has been contributing to the tax coffers in Indiana. So she should benefit from that and get in-state tuition. Period.
So she pays no sales tax. They give her. Did they give?
I'm not saying just sales tax. I'm thinking property tax. Yeah. You know, I mean, let's make the list. Yeah, gets a car, pays the license.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, you can't drive any distance without paying a toll. Just all of that stuff. You can't tell me that she's been living here and never contributing to the state's income. So, and that really is the idea. And I understand that as far as in-state versus out-of-state tuition.
By the way, Chief, I found the requirements pertaining to the real ID. If you don't fly domestically and you don't visit military bases or secure federal buildings, you don't need a real ID. You can keep your current driver's license, which will work just fine. But Illinois residents will be, you know, flying domestically or entering federal facilities, anytime after October 2020, that's the deadline, you will need to have a real ID, as they call it. So, and this was an act that Congress passed back in 2005.
Oh, wow.
During the Bush administration, shortly after 9/11. And Illinois was granted several extensions before they now have a 2020 deadline.
Right, so let me get this straight. When you say federal buildings,
years.
If I'm called as a witness in a federal securities fraud case, I can't get in a building on my old one?
Good question.
I think the answer is no.
Well, after October 2020.
Yeah.
How bleeped up is that?
Very. And they 15 years. They passed a law in 2005 when we were in a different mindset and, you know, in somewhat justifiably in a different mindset because we had been surprised in a very bad way by some bad people.
Right.
But if the reason behind that, if we've gone 15 years and, as you've put it, you know, nothing, without having it in place, the reason that you want to have it in place as a preventative measure wasn't needed. Why, you know?
Because
why?
Name me somebody. You have. You will be soon, I'm sure, given the fact that you're doing well in life. Be on a board somewhere, and have your security manual come in. It's 100 pages long, and say, God, page 51 is pretty messed up. We don't need that. Try and get the votes to pull page 51 out of there.
Oh, yeah. And the backtracking on these things is darn near impossible.
Can you imagine?
I know that.
Can you imagine floating a bill in the U.S. Congress to go back on this?
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah, if there's a book of laws, I severely doubt it ever gets smaller.
Oh, yeah, but it never does. And that's all. I mean, what are you?
Maybe we should maybe we should target at the maybe at the 250th anniversary of this country. Maybe we should target a restructuring.
We need a constitutional convention.
Well, that's why that's part of what I'm getting at there. But like a complete restructuring.
But I also think,
because there's a big. There's a group of people that feel like that we should stick with the letter of the law and the Constitution, but gosh knows there are lots of things that these people could not have visualized 220-something years ago.
Oh, no, they had it all figured out.
Yeah. No, they did not have it.
How about something
but there's a reality to maybe we are due for a... and maybe the person that can get everybody behind that idea right there is the person that should get elected. We need a corporate restructuring of the United States government. With checks and balances in place.
How about a 15-year moratorium on every law? It either has to be revoted or it's out.
Like just a corporate review?
Well, I mean...
Send them on an offsite to review all the practices?
The Sherman Act, 1933, I believe.
No,
we either want it or we don't. Let's get rid of it. Let's stop having idiots like me quoting it when nobody enforces it. Either give it life or get it out of here so I don't talk about it anymore.
And maybe if you do some sort of constitutional convention, right now we're supposed to have a House of Representatives that represent, and they each represent, what, 500,000, 600,000 people each?
Yep.
I mean, maybe this sounds a little over the top, but why don't we have, some sort of constitutional convention where we have a person that represents every 25 or 50,000 people, so they really do represent the interests of the folks.
Well, it doesn't do you any good if the last 200 people at the bottom of the totem pole have zero power and it's all in a speaker and 15 committee chair.
That's why I'm saying have a whole new group.
But I mean, the last thing you need is more
true representatives.
I'll push back on this is another 300 people out there that are useless.
Well, it's just for a temporary restructuring, much like bringing in an outside consultant.
Well, I'm saying right now our problems, I think, in Congress have to do with their own rules.
Right. So you bring a separate group of people in and empower them to...
I would say that if you and I put together a party... Can you imagine what the party would look like if you and I and Kevin put it together? Good Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
But say we put...
It'd just be a bunch of old white guys.
Well, no. I don't think so.
Okay.
If we put 50 people in next year, what good have we done?
Not a whole lot, because they end up being a small, kind of like the Tea Party thing, where they have a small group of.
What do they even do all day? They do nothing.
They go to hearings.
What do you think?
They talk to lobbyists.
What do you think? I mean, I'm not.
They're really not beholden to a boss.
They're in power now.
Yeah,
but let me ask you what. And again, I don't think these guys are very effective at all. What do you suppose, Danny Davis, and who's the guy from the South Side? The guy used to be the Black Panther. Tells his name.
Rush?
Bobby Rush. Yeah. What do you think they did all day when Republicans are in power? And what do you think they do all day now?
Not a whole ton.
What do you mean? I have no idea what they do.
Yeah.
I'd say about Mike Quigley.
See, this is why we need, if you've got a bunch of people sitting around at your place of business that aren't doing anything all day, then you need to have a restructuring.
I would say that's probably true.
And top of the list on the restructuring is going to be term limits.
Well, I don't know if that's the problem. I mean,
I think that's part of the problem because I'm going to say that
I'm going to get some numbers together and I'm going to shock you at how much turnover there is in the House.
Oh, I know. There's at the lower end because the new people show up, they're enthusiastic, and they get burned out very quickly.
I'm going to say that the House in the last 3 elections has turned over 60%.
Easily.
Well, I mean, so term limits is not really that much of an issue.
Well, if you had term limits for the higher-up people...
Let's tee this up next week. Okay, you remember it, and I'll tee it up.
I'll do my best.
All right, buddy.
I'm writing a note on the desk here.
S&P futures down 3.25, and S&P futures up 2.25. Boeing is now up 6.
Yay.
Caterpillar is now back down to wild stuff there. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.